see, let's talk about it. Conversations lit, ain't no doubt about it. I have my fork and my spoon. Give me what's on your plate, cause I'm here for the food. Sprinkle it with love, sense of politics. We eat everything, I mean you is the shit. Season real good, like I said it's lit. Give me what's on your plate, cause I'm here for the food.
So here's some backstory for you guys, right? Me and Maya, we already did this interview, okay? And it was supposed to be the premiere episode. However, I had a videographer that decided to leave all of his camera equipment and his hard drives and all of his clients' work in his car overnight, parked in a super sketchy area, and everything got stolen out of it. And I found out by way of Instagram. That was how I found out everything. And so I said, just out of curiosity, did all my footage go with the stuff that got stolen? And his response was sadly, yes. And I was like, wow, this generation lets you find out that all your work has been stolen in an Instagram story. I was like, okay, that's wild. Yeah, that's wildly unprofessional. But I was like, you know what? I hit up Maya and I was like, girl, please have mercy on me. I really need you to do this interview with me again. And you,
I don't mind.
I know, because you're so sweet. And like I said in the last interview, you are one of the most unproblematic women in this business. Nobody really ever hears anything about you. No one speaks negatively about you. People seem to just, you know, when Maya's name is mentioned, it's like, oh, I love her. Did you hear this song? I just think she's so amazing. And I watch, and I'm paying attention to the vegan, you know, challenge she's got going on. And I started doing it. I'm losing weight, and it's just. People sing your praises a lot, and it's like, it's just reflective of just like the good energy that you just radiates off of you. Today is self-care Sunday. So she's taken some time out of her day. I want to talk a little bit about what self-care means to you. A lot of people talk about self-care, you know, it's like a meme or a weighted blanket from IKEA, but what does self-care mean to you? And what are some of your, like, some of your practices?
Well, self-care to me means filling your cup fully and putting yourself first. And that I don't believe is selfish, but mm-hmm. selfless, because the more you do take time out to fill up your cup, you can serve others. And when you are on empty, you have nothing to serve. So if a part of your mission in life or even some of the obligations are to help others, even when others rely on you, especially as women, mm-hmm. we tend to be over nurturers. Mm-hmm. Putting yourself first is a blessing to not you, not just you, but everyone around you mm-hmm. and the world itself, because people can really benefit from those that take care of themselves. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
And that means what I put in my body, what I put on my body, what I'm tuning into, who I allow in my life, you know, books that I read, and self-talk, because we are definitely influenced on a daily basis by so many forces in the outside world, just social media alone. And mm-hmm. then you turn on the television. So tuning out is a part of self-care for me, and then really defining what everything means, what love means, what happiness means, what success means, so that I'm not following one format, you know, fed to the world or advertised to the world that might not necessarily work for individuals. Mm-hmm. So that's self-care to me in a nutshell. We can go down the rabbit hole of that, but
that, I mean, you just said a lot. There's a bunch of themes there that I want to, you know, to kind of, flesh out a little bit and unpack. But, you know, just in terms of like the perception of success, you know, everybody thinks that looking from the outside in that they would enjoy being famous. A lot of people chase fame, and both you and I have been in this industry for over 20 years. And we know, no, fame should not be the ultimate goal. It really should actually just be a byproduct of your success. So what are, I mean, have you ever gotten to the point where you wanted to completely shun the entertainment industry because of the pressure that it put on you and because of the perils that come along with quote unquote fame?
Well, fame was never my driving force to begin with.
Yeah.
I'm a child of the arts. So mm-hmm. I really love making music. I really mm-hmm. love choreographing. I really love creating designs and just seeing things birthed from zero to something. Mm-hmm. And there's magic in that. The same magic that I fell in love with as a child throughout my school years is the same magic that I want to protect, mm-hmm. you know, so that the business aspect, which is totally separate and intersects often, does not play a part in me losing that passion, that joy, that love that art brings. Mm-hmm. And so when I signed up for the music industry, it was an opportunity, mm-hmm. the first opportunity, whereas, you know, Broadway was actually my dream, mm-hmm. acting, singing, dancing, the whole nine. And that's what I was going to pursue. But the record deal came first. And with that, of course, the funding that the labels provide creates a brand. Mm-hmm. And that brand goes off into the world to be promoted and advertised. And sometimes that equals what people consider fame. Mm-hmm. But I've never really been too caught up in that. First of all, it's scary. And it also attracted a lot of things that I don't think as a teenager I was ready for. Mm-hmm. The pressure, of course, to be perfect. Back then, you know, you can get away with a lot of things nowadays. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that I've ever shied away from because I knew it came with the territory and I come from a very, very grounded background. Mm-hmm. I think I've just paced myself very slowly as far as what works for me. Mm-hmm. And I know the world tends to define what's bigger is better, but that's not always the case. And it was never the case for me, you know, what people consider successful in my professional life. I was going through hell personally. Mm-hmm. And what people consider to be failure in my independent life has been extreme success. I mean, traveling around the world, ownership, empowerment, being able to cast fans as interns and employees and independent contractors and give other opportunities to other people has been like the main success for me, but also peace of mind.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is
that success.
Yeah. The definition of success, you know, I think that a lot of people are finding that in the year 2020, we're waking up to the notion that we've been sold like a, you know, like a, we've been sold like a false story as to what we're supposed to work towards attaining, you know? And it's just not as fulfilling as what people had originally thought, just the goals that they set out or goals that had been set out for them. They're realizing that it's just nowhere near as fulfilling as they'd originally thought. You know, and so I normally don't do a whole lot of research or watch previous interviews on somebody that I'm going to interview, but a couple of things kind of like, you know, I don't know, you say something and your phone just instantly starts to like, you know, pick things up. I think it's listening to us. So it's just like, you know, I was like, we were texting with each other and suddenly I'm seeing Maya all over the place. I was like, okay, that I got to turn this thing off. So I wanted to talk about like the pressures of the business. When you first came out and you had your debut album and it was, you know, was it double platinum or something like that? At the same time, you were going through a personal hell. Your mom was in the hospital, suffering from breast cancer. Your dad was managing you at the time. And by all appearances, the outside looking in, it looked like, okay, she's on her way. She's this, you know, she's this new talent and everybody's like wants to be, you know, on the Maya train. And on the inside, your life was like falling apart. How did you, as a young artist, balance that? And what does your balance look like now in comparison from, you know, just the learning lessons that you've acquired as you've, you know, aged?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, at the beginning of my career, both of my parents were my managers. Mm-hmm. And the ugly divorce that was occurring obviously split both of them into pieces. It was a tug of war battle that played a part in my emotional and mental health. And it was hard to be this bright, vibrant, happy, fun, go lucky teenager when, you know, the people that are supposed to protect you have their own issues. And then you are forced to become an adult, which I was, you know, mm-hmm. pretty much was growing up as the oldest in my family. But there's another sense of maturity being around strangers that don't necessarily have your best interest at heart in this business in particular. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of feelings of discomfort, I would say, I would battle with, and then trying to be something that I genuinely was not in my interviews. I was not happy. Mm-hmm. I was not vibrant, mm-hmm. and I was not comfortable with what was happening. My throat chakra was closed. It was hard to sing anything. It was hard to speak about anything because of the reality of what was going on. I did not seek therapy. I didn't know what, what that was. And, you know, I dealt with that the best way I could. Mm-hmm. And that was through journaling, mm-hmm. and prayer. I didn't know what meditation was back then, but just pushing through and obviously staying busy, but also not talking about it because I didn't want to come across as a weak mental wreck as mm-hmm. I was trying to solidify this opportunity of a lifetime that could ultimately change the narrative of my family and comfortability and financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about all of that when I was processing it. And you just push through. And I think staying busy, obviously, mm-hmm. was a healthy way of coping. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't stopped working since. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, since then, I've brought my family back together to work separately, but with me. And that's also provided a sense of healing. But there are just so many things that you go through while the world is watching, and mm-hmm. girls that also rely on you for strength, and you're trying to be that while you're going through a lot of turmoil personally, mm-hmm. that you're not sure of the outcome on. So it's life.
Isn't it interesting how I suffered a lot in silence, and it sounds like you did the same thing too. It sounds like you didn't want anybody to see a crack in the facade. You wanted to manage your, you know, the turmoil of your personal life quietly, and you wanted to just make everything look like it was okay. Whereas nowadays, it's okay. It's completely socially acceptable to have a full-on mental breakdown, and everybody's going to be like, same, totally feel you. Do you think that that's freeing in a sense now that everybody is kind of like on this mental health awareness train, and the stigma seems to be slowly eroding? I think personally, I feel like there's a good and a bad side to it. The bad side being that the conversation's being had so much that it's diluting it. You know, and we're applying mental health issues to maybe even just like, I don't know, bad behavior or whatever the case is.
Well, I think it does need to be discussed, but obviously on responsible platforms. And I mm-hmm. do think the dangers of discussing or just putting your life on Front Street can lead to depression and suicide because of social media and bullying and the world mm-hmm. in your business while you're just trying to process what is going on, mm-hmm. why I feel this way. And then obviously the opinions, the criticism, the judgment. So that can be a very dangerous situation depending on how mature you are, but you never know until you're in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. I think the conversations are being had and it's more normalized nowadays. Mm-hmm. But the steps to combat it or address it and then obviously cope properly and deal with it properly in a healthy manner, I think that could be utilized more responsibly mm-hmm. when attached to real mental health. Mm-hmm. And then what it's caused by, you know, there's so many factors, whether it be diet and addiction to sugar or mm-hmm. chemical imbalance or things that run in our family, some of the stresses that we take on just in this country alone, chasing the American dream, becoming a slave to debt, not being able to get out of economic situations and feeling generational issues, mm-hmm. you know, that I'll speak as an African American, you know, it's fed to us as students from day mm-hmm. one, when you're taught you are just a slave and that is the beginning of your history. There's so many mental issues in our community alone because of education mm-hmm. and lack of awareness, but also access to that awareness. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to operate in a society that's not necessarily built for you, you mm-hmm. feel that dark cloud over you. Mm-hmm. And just the term dark or black and what it's associated with throughout mm-hmm. biblical history or superstitions mm-hmm. and how it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Why does a woman have to wear a white wedding dress all the time? So just that mental brainwashing is enough in itself to create these bondages mentally, but also feel some type of way about yourself that mm-hmm. is not healthy
yeah.
as a child
yeah.
in this world, but also especially in this country,
yeah.
the United States. So how we deal with those things,
mm-hmm.
Because kids are really, really at risk now with their access to social media
mm-hmm.
and television, but so many channels, so much information, and just being bombarded with that alone, whether it's good, bad, ugly, indifferent,
mm-hmm.
it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so where are we going? We're in the thick of trying to figure out how to combat all of these things, because this is a new world. We didn't grow up like this.
No,
we played outside.
Yes. I mean, there's
it's a lot.
Yeah.
What's up, foodies? I have another favorite thing for you guys. So there's something that you feel like is interfering with you reaching your goals in life, or you've plateaued in life. I want you guys to check out betterhelp.com. Okay. As you guys know, I have been going through my own personal struggles, and sometimes I need the support from somebody a little bit more equipped to help than just my friends, a professional. And this is where BetterHelp comes in, okay? They will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. I matched with a doctor named Alexa, and she has been fantastic. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, okay? There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. I have personally loved the sessions that I've had with Dr. Alexa. She checks in with me frequently. We can either do things online, on Zoom, over the phone, or on text. Whenever I'm having a moment in which I need a little bit more help than what I can give to myself or my friends can give to me, Dr. Alexa has been there for me. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating the best quality therapeutic matches for you. So if you are in fact matched with somebody that you don't kind of feel like you're gelling with, they will make the switch for you. It's easy, it's free, and no one's going to take it personal. I promise. You can log into your account anytime to get in touch with your counselor. They get in touch with you super fast, and you can literally end up with a counseling session on the spot. Many of us have experienced moments of crisis just due to life and how it just unfolds. BetterHelp.com is the app that's going to help you deal with crisis as they happen. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So what I want you guys to do now is check out BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. /foodie, FOODIE. And you're going to receive 10% off of your first month. So that is betterhelp.com/foodie, BetterHelp.com/foodie, FOODIE.
There's so many things that I'm like, I'm so nostalgic about, you know, rotary phones, answering machines, you know, just going outside and seeing your friends, or just there's so many things that I'm nostalgic for. And I just feel really sorry for, you know, the generations after us that never got to experience anything like that, where their whole lives are like play out on like a digital platform. And I'm like, oh, it was a lot of fun back then. Oh, by the way, happy belated birthday. I meant to say that earlier.
Thank you.
Had a birthday on October 10th. And the other thing that everybody says when they look at you is that she must have the fountain of youth in her backyard, because she's like got Benjamin Button syndrome. She's aging backwards. That's gotta feel really good, right? I like when people make those kinds of like comments about me, but it definitely doesn't get said nearly as frequently as it does about you. You do look like you're 25.
Upper body and upper body only. Gravity is real.
I I don't believe you need more people.
Oh boy, it's a lot of work. You know, my body does not function the way it used to in my teens, obviously, and it's not supposed to, but it's a lot harder to maintain things, but it's very, very easy as well when you make the lifestyle change. So
you credit the veganism with
vegan life, but not just vegan life, because that doesn't necessarily mean healthy. Mm. It's more the raw fruits and vegetables and juicing that changes my vibration, my frequency, plays a part in skin and glow, but also happiness and overall well-being. You know, I'm not taking any medications and getting sick, and that's really important during these times with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But it's been a life changer for me, just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Mm-hmm. Most people have a stigma regarding veganism and think it's expensive, but it's not, unless you're eating out, of course, all the time. But fresh produce is a lot cheaper than a lot of animal products. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It's awesome.
You've been a vegan for 6 years, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you have a challenge that you do. It's posted on your website, and you encourage people to, it's like a 30-day challenge to encourage people to try the vegan lifestyle the way that you do it, and see if it, you know, sticks. Am I saying it right? Is that correct?
Kind of, but you're
okay.
Just
fill in the blanks for me then.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I conduct these vegan challenges. I've been doing it for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And I take the challenges with anyone that signs up, and there's actually no sign up, but I started at 7 days a month per quarter and increased in the second quarter to 14 days. And then 21 days in the third quarter, and then 28 days in the fourth quarter, so that by the end of the year, people have reached their goal to become vegan, raw vegan, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But now, with a couple of years experience, I want to bring more people on board. So I've decreased the amount of days, so people have some incentive and see if they like it. It's a 3-day vegan reset, which is super easy. And I have a lot more people on board that are keen to taking that challenge instead of starting at 7 days. Mm-hmm. And so we started that at the third quarter of this year, but now that we're in the fourth quarter, we're upping the ante to 6 days a month for the remainder of the year. Mm-hmm. And I'll be partnering with Queen Afua, who has expertise in this area regarding detoxes and herbs and natural juices and how to eat properly. And she has a whole program. So I've been partnering up with a couple of people that can do online coaching since we're all stationary right now. Mm-hmm. But yes, these challenges are just taking place on my Instagram, and I award one winner per month to lots of goodies, whether it's juicers or NutriBullets and blenders, Vitamixes, cool kitchen gadgets, and some of my wine, which is also vegan and organic, some books, just helpful things that keep them on the path. Mm-hmm. And get their family or friends involved. Mm-hmm. And before, we've actually gone on a retreat for all winners from the 2018 challenges to Costa Rica.
Nice.
That was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was awesome for a whole week. Mm-hmm. But the world is not open right now. So.
No, it's not. It's
maybe
it's,
one day.
I know. I miss traveling so much, but I digress on that. What are some of these stigmas, you know, that people who approach the challenge have, that basically they, you know, once they've done it, they're just like, oh, I was under this impression, blah, blah, blah. And they've discovered something completely different.
Well, some of the stigmas are you'll die if you go vegan.
Stigma is the wrong word. Like the stereotypes, or like the misinformation about veganism that people that people just kind of like perpetuate, that's not true, that you want people to understand.
Well, the stereotypes of veganism is that you won't get enough protein or B12. Those are the top stigmas, and that it's expensive, or you won't be able to keep your curves as women, especially women of color come to me with that fear. Mm-hmm. And that's not true at all. I've gained weight as a vegan, but I've also lost weight as a vegan, depending on what I'm doing in the gym or how I'm eating when I'm eating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the human body doesn't necessarily need a whole lot of protein, and animals only get their protein from plants. And that's actually where we get them. So we can get more iron, mm-hmm. more protein, more calcium from plant-based products or plants themselves, but especially the raw live foods, because you're not killing off the enzymes and nutrients when you cook these things. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to reverse my anemia with iron deficiency from my past just by going on a vegan diet. Wow. And that's one of the biggest things I noticed when I went vegan. Also eliminating mucus, which is key for singers. So I've been able to hit notes that I wasn't hitting when I was vegetarian, you know, and vegetarian means that you can consume dairy and just a couple of animal products like butters and cheeses. Mm-hmm. So that's ovo-lacto or lacto or ovo vegetarian. It's a lot of stuff, and it's all in the free starter guide that I crafted at mayamaya.com/lifestyle. But those are the top stereotypes, and they're not true at all.
Right. Well, I want to be a vegan. And then I think about ribs and chicken wings and, you know, all the stuff that is really like shrimp. It's the stuff that's like really hard to let go of. What was one of the things that was the hardest for you to let go of when you embarked on the journey towards veganism? Because everybody has a thing that they were nothing. Like, really?
Because I was living in LA at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I had access to all of these restaurants. But of course, there are more grocery stores in LA back then, 6 years ago, that were stocking vegan cheeses, which is one of the main things that vegetarians hold on to. There are now vegan eggs. You know, there's plant-based milk everywhere. There's vegan ice cream. There's even vegan shrimp, fish fillets, crab cakes, and chicken wings, barbecue. Chew wings, ribs, there's all of that. And the fact that I've learned how to make it myself out of chickpeas and a couple of vegetables or flax seeds, sesame seeds, stuff like that. I've been able to get really, really creative. So when I first stepped into veganism, I think it was the convenience of it all as a traveler and being on tour. It really sucked because there were a lot of airport restaurants that didn't have options except for little crappy salads that came in plastic and ranch dressing or buttermilk dressing, things that I couldn't have to salivate my glands. But I started meal prepping and just being prepared, but also I would say training myself to eat more raw on the road, because you can always stop by a grocery store and that's kept me in shape and then just ready to perform at all times.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, raw vegetables, I instantly get a stomach ache thinking about it, honestly. Like, it's not exactly the easiest thing on your digestive tract to eat raw vegetables. That's one of the things that I instantly think about. I'm a pretty healthy eater. I'm very much like an 80-20 kind of girl, you know, but... And I love raw vegetables and raw fruits, but there is something that you notice after you consume them, a little bit of bloating, maybe you might not, you know, people might want to like take 6 feet of, you know, social distancing away from you after you've been consuming raw vegetables. I mean, these are, I don't know, like what's something that you, you know, can say is like, how do you offset like the discomfort that might come along with consuming raw fruits and vegetables?
I've never had any discomfort. And I think initially when you do eat that type of stuff, it depends on what's in your system already. And then obviously the gap of time before eating that, because you're always supposed to consume the lighter foods, the more water,
water-based foods.
Yes. Like fruits and vegetables first, before you have a meal that's in your system for 6 to 8 hours. And it takes a while to digest because the fruits are trying to get out and the vegetables are trying to get out. So that's going to give you bloating and cramping and all of that stuff if you're eating and combining certain foods that shouldn't be combined. So I'm now learning about that proper food combining, but also when to eat, what to eat, how to eat properly based on nature and our system. So I haven't had a problem, but I have some snacks that I go to when I'm trying to eat more healthy, because I do still love my processed vegan food, you know, I still cook vegan pancakes and my vegan bacon from time to time because it's really tasty. Mm-hmm. But I know when I need to get right. So I have seaweed snacks on deck at all times
mm-hmm.
with like hummus,
mm-hmm.
put some cucumbers on top, or even vegan cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes like one of those wraps, a Philly roll, you know, mm-hmm. minus the rice, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But that celery sticks with peanut butter, mm-hmm. celery sticks with cream cheese. You know, I have my little fruit on deck, and there's now chocolate hummus, mm-hmm. dark chocolate hummus that you can dip your fruit in. So I always take those on the plane or flights mm-hmm. and stuff. So I stay on point.
Oh, I'm going to, I've never heard of chocolate hummus. I'm going to have to get some of that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Bree, make sure you get some chocolate. Okay. Got it. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So let's go back and talk about internal narrative. You mentioned that before, and I'm curious to know, you know, it's a theme, a recurring theme on I'm Here for the Food. One of the things I really like to do is do a comparative kind of analysis, you know, between who the guest perceives they were in their past and who they are now.
Okay.
I really love to show evolution of maturity, of growth, because there's people of different ages watching this, and they're, you know, they're fans of the people that, you know, the guests that I have on the show. And it's interesting, you know, when they can make this kind of, you know, similar kind of application of, wow, okay, they went through this, I'm going through this currently. And then they listen to how you kind of powered through something. So I'm always interested about people's internal narrative. I am just learning in, you know, my early 40s, how to be kind to myself. I've had to tell myself some really, really ugly things in order to survive in the business that we're in. When people have made up lies, rumors, innuendo about me, about people I didn't even know, you know, whether I'd slept with them or not. And it was just, it was painful and it was hurtful. And I had to tell myself certain things in order to quote unquote survive. I'm just wondering if your internal narrative, what it sounds like now, and if it has gone through its own process of evolution.
Well, yes, I think growing up as a teenager and just a young woman, finding her own voice and coming into herself,
mm-hmm.
that's a struggle.
Yeah.
Because of the way the world is set up as it pertains how women are defined, their place, and the many stereotypes and double standards that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
And assumptions. Now my narrative is much different. you know, I understand that the world is in the state that it's in, and a lot of people are hurting. I know that hurt people, because I've been bullied since I could remember
mm-hmm.
for so many different things. I knew how that felt. And so I've tried to refrain from bullying other people. I'm sure I have hurt feelings in the past, but that's not in my nature because I do know how it feels. But my narrative is, no matter what you do, somebody and many will have a problem
mm-hmm.
with you
mm-hmm.
only because they have a problem with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I no longer operate in a victim mindset, mm-hmm. but also from a sensitive and understanding mindset of what the outside world is saying about me, because that's going to happen. I signed up for this. Did I know what I was signing up for? No, because I thought all my problems will go away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Once I'm rich and famous and have a successful career, all my problems are going to go away. And it's just like, actually, they're
multiplied.
Going to pile on. Yes, exactly.
Yes, but you have to have alligator skin. You have to have dinosaur skin to, first of all, operate as a woman in this world. And those are conditioning aspects and situations or circumstances that will build you
mm-hmm.
and your resistance if it doesn't kill you. And mm-hmm. so your mind, your spirit have to be so resilient and strong. And anyone listening to this, understand that hurt people hurt people. And even if someone does not like you, that's not your mission in life. Your mission is to do with what you reside with and resonate with. Mm-hmm. And the world, the entire world, may not get with that. Mm-hmm. However, people are very mean and mm-hmm. they will say many things about you. Men too. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll say things about men that are not true because mm-hmm. it's a story, and it's also a business that mm-hmm. brings in clicks. Mm-hmm. Clicks bring in advertising dollars, and that pays somebody's bills. So mm-hmm. at all costs, even at your expense, there are agendas here mm-hmm. that don't have anything to do with you, what you did, what you said, you know, whether it be reality TV or something online made up out of thin air. Mm-hmm. Understand who you are. And sometimes mm-hmm. that takes isolation. Sometimes that takes protecting your personal life mm-hmm. so that people do not have, you know, anything to say about something that's sacred and personal, mm-hmm. you know, that means so much to you.
Yeah.
But I bring it on. You can bully me all day long. You know, it's just, it's honestly a fuel to the fire.
Really?
That just constantly allows myself to be in pain for a couple minutes, but push, mm-hmm. push through and get better, do better, be better. Mm-hmm. And then operate in greatness mm-hmm. and whatever that might be, whether mm-hmm. it's a skill set or just being a nice person. Mm-hmm. And so knowing how that feels, you never want to become that person. So you choose the opposite. You choose to do good. You choose to share good. You choose to be what the ugly parts of the world are not. Mm-hmm. Because this life is very short, and you can honestly make someone else's day or make this world a better place by not following some of the things that are happening in the world right now, because mm-hmm. it's a quick fix or it makes you feel good about yourself by putting someone else down, but really offering healing in whatever mm-hmm. that way that is, and being honest and sharing mm-hmm. some of your obstacles. And so I've chosen that way mm-hmm. instead of self-destruction, because it's easy to fall to that trap mm-hmm. When dealing with the pain of being called so many things or not fully being accepted or welcome or invited or relevant or valid. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of that.
What's up, foodies? I've got another favorite thing for you and another deal for you. So Thrive Market is one of my new favorite things. It's an online membership-based market on a mission to provide healthy living that's easy and affordable for everybody. You can order clean, healthy, and sustainable foods at a really, really low cost. And guess what? They will accommodate any kind of diet plan that you're on. If you're on keto, if you're on paleo, if you're on non-GMO, if you're vegan, it doesn't matter, because Thrive Market has you covered. You can buy thousands of wholesome food, home, and beauty products curated just for their members. You can find everything that you need, everything from organic and essential groceries, clean beauty, safe products, and non-toxic home, plus ethical meat, sustained seafood, clean wine, and more. And their products are ethically sourced, which is very important. And you can skip the lines, which is the best part. I don't know about you guys, but my online shopping has skyrocketed recently. So here is how you're going to decide. You go to thrivemarket.com/foodie. That is Thrive Market, MARKET.com/foodie, FOODIE. You join today and you will get a free gift of your choosing plus $24 in value. That's thrivemarket.com/foodie to start your risk-free membership and get a free gift today. thrivemarket.com/foodie, FOODIE.
And another thing that I want to say is I often get asked questions about, oh, how is it being a woman in this business, as if it's some kind of disability?
I might have to steal that, because that is a really good way of putting it. I'll just leave it there.
I've started to redefine that and no longer answer the question the same as I would mm-hmm. when I was brainwashed to thinking, oh, a woman is lesser than, or it's weaker than mm-hmm. when I was younger, because that's mm-hmm. what the world feeds us. And I've been a woman, you know, for years now. I'm 41 now. So I look at it as an advantage, not a disadvantage mm-hmm. as I'm approached. It is, mm-hmm. it's an advantage. You know, it's a beautiful thing. There's mm-hmm. so much strength in a woman. There's so much nurturing and softness mm-hmm. and edge. And
we get to be a lot. We get to be a lot of things all at the same time. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Even the sexual or the sexuality aspect, that should not be suppressed just because mm-hmm. you're a woman living in this double standard society. That is a part of your essence. That's not mm-hmm. all you are, but you are a brain. Mm-hmm. You are a spirit. You're not just a body. I've had to redefine all that stuff and live in it and not be ashamed of any of it mm-hmm. Because the world will have you second guessing all of that, mm-hmm. you know, yourself, and only want to put you in one box and shut up and be mm-hmm. quiet. Mm-hmm. And I've always been outspoken when I'm asked. I don't just go on rants if I'm not asked. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that I do believe young women should change mm-hmm. their own narrative mm-hmm. In.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
being a woman is not a disadvantage, it's an advantage. And embrace mm-hmm. every facet, every part of it, every mm-hmm. act. You are multidimensional.
It is not a disability to be a woman. It is a fabulous thing. We get to be multifaceted creatures. We get to be whomever we want. It is amazing. We're going to wrap this up because I want you to continue having like a beautiful Sunday and self-care Sunday. So I want to get to mine as well. But I wanted to ask you, it's an election year. And, you're in DC, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, what's it like being in DC, like being in kind of like the thick of things? I'm living here in California. California is, you know, a blue state and whatnot. But, what's your thoughts on just collectively, what are your thoughts? I haven't seen you being very vocal about.
Lord, honestly, I don't have any thoughts. It's a no comment situation. I believe in voting. I'm not going to preach a narrative about it, but
right.
I think it's very important mm-hmm. whether it's accurate of an outcome or not. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one to tell you who to vote for. That's not my position or place.
Are you a fan of Kamala?
I'm not going to speak on any of these politics. Politics and religion are two things I do not speak about for certain reasons. You know, we are living in a time where anything you say is mm-hmm. chopped up, edited, mm-hmm. created, mm-hmm. you know, a title for, and people mm-hmm. misunderstand you. So I'm not going to play that game right now, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. that's not on you. That's on.
No, I overstand. I'm pretty much the same way. Whenever people ask me about politics, I say I'm Canadian. Good. That's where I leave it. I'm like, I can't vote even if I wanted to. I'm Canadian. And even if I tried to go for my citizenship right now, well, there's just such mm-hmm. a backlog with INS that, I mean, I'll probably be a landed immigrant for quite a long time. But so that's always my answer. It's very deflective. Like, I can't even answer the question.
I'm just going to say a prayer for a miracle, but you know, this world is just ass backwards. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. And anyone listening, please pick up the Blueprint for Black Power. I'll say that again. Anyone listening, please pick up a book. It's called The Blueprint for Black Power by Amos N. Wilson. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel any type of way. I know the history of this country, and it's just going to take a miracle. Yeah. To reverse a lot of things that need to be reversed, mm-hmm. but on a bigger scale, you know, this environment and the EPA and climate change, if we are not careful and we don't change our ways, and at least the basis of a lot of companies.
A two-party system's not even going to matter if we don't have a planet.
I mean, we don't even have a planet. Exactly. That's where my mind is. And mm-hmm. so it's bigger than just politics, but it's about the global aspect of things. Mm-hmm. And so I'll just leave it at that. For now, it's a hot mess.
It's the question that you can't escape. Everyone's asking. So it's an election year. What are your thoughts on, you know, just what's been going on and that sort of thing? Like, everybody's asking. But I can't thank you enough for spending another hour on the phone with me doing this Zoom interview. We had one already packaged up, ready to go, and then it was just poof, gone, just into the ether. And I'm like, you know, you're so kind enough to do this with me.
I've been through that. I can relate with music files, all kinds of things. Music videos.
Oh my God.
And it hurts because it's expensive. But mm-hmm. There's a reason for everything. I believe that. So yes. Great to see your face again.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You too.
Yeah,
thank
Sending you. Love your way.
Thank you so much. And you too. And okay. So your latest single, what is the latest single that I just listened to the other day?
I Deserve It.
I Deserve It. Yes. I was listening to I Deserve It Without You. Space and Time.
Yeah.
And you got me.
Yeah.
You Got Me Part Two. Yeah. Those are the ones that I've been listening to recently. They're on like rotation in my car right now. And they're giving me all the feels, all the vibes. Without You, because it's kind of like got like techno kind of house beat going with it. Yeah. So it's very good treadmill and hiking music.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I got some more coming for you in November and December. So
okay,
I'll be releasing a single or two then as well.
And so for everybody to keep up with whatever Maya's got going on, they just go to Maya Planet 9 on IG and also the website.
MayaMaya.com.
MayaMaya.com. All right. All right. You heard it here. For foodies, I've got Maya. You've got to check out her, the music, the veganism, everything she's got going on her website, MayaMaya.com. We're going to put a link on the episode description. And I thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Great to see you again. And
all right, love.
Have a beautiful Sunday.
Okay, you too. All right. Bye.
Peace.